And it's always a pleasure to say hello to the Senior Director of Broadcasting for Play-by-Play Voice of the Tennessee Titans, Mike Keith, as he joins us on the Stanley Fenton Gates Hotline. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well, John. How are you?
Doing well, thanks, and certainly hope that's the case for everybody in the Keith household and beyond. We saw the Titans, well, we saw Derrick Henry sign the franchise tender from the Titans. If you would, just take us through the nuts and bolts as to, I think that's a show of good faith on both parties, and yet both have said they want to work and hammer out a long-term deal before the deadline arrives.
Yeah, that's right, John. Here's what I think happened on that. So you're the Titans, and you're working with Ryan Tannehill, and you're working with Derrick Henry, and they're complicated contracts from the standpoint that it's a quarterback contract and it's a running back contract. So the parameters of both are very different from just other positions. Market determines it, length of career, health. I mean, some things that are very, very specific that are drilled down on. A linebacker contract is generally easier to do. So the Titans get the contract done with Ryan Tannehill on March the 15th. The tampering period, the legal tampering period, as it is called, I guess, nicknamed, whatever you want to call it, begins the next day. And so the Titans don't have a deal with Derrick Henry. They don't want to let him get to open water in terms of free agency. So they say, we're putting the franchise tag on you. John, I think that if Henry's deal had gotten done first, I think they would have tagged Tannehill. Well, so last week I'm on with you guys. We're talking about all of it. We haven't heard a word from Derrick Henry. Things, you know, there's no news on it really at all. John Robinson does a conference call on Wednesday, and he's very optimistic. Very optimistic, very positive about Derrick Henry, very positive about the dealings that he's had with Henry's representatives. Everybody came away from that feeling like he wanted to get the long-term deal done. And then the next day, Thursday, Henry goes ahead and signs his tender. Now, let's look at a couple of things here. First of all, with our economy like it is right now in this country and the questions ahead, knowing you're going to make $10.3 million is not a bad thing. So it is truly a bird in the hand to go ahead and sign it. You would say that's practical. Number two, he hasn't commented on it publicly. He hasn't whined about it. Would anybody really want to hear that at this moment in time? Of course not. So smart on Derrick Henry's part. The other thing, too, which comes into focus, is that Derrick Henry has made good money in his career outside of football. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. He played at Alabama. He's very, very well known. I mean, he gets paid pretty well to do appearances and other things like that. Obviously, he's part of the Heisman House campaign with Nissan, all those sorts of things. And this is a guy who loves football. Derrick Henry loves football. So with all of those things working together, I think it was in his nature to go in this direction anyway. But I think the stars aligned. And I think he also believes, especially after what John Robinson said publicly, that he wants to continue to work towards July 15th and the deadline, knowing that he has 3+ months to get a long-term deal worked out. I think it's a smart move from the Henry camp. I think it's a smart move from the Titans camp. I think it makes a lot of sense to keep working in that direction. And I truly believe everybody's optimistic they can get something done beyond just the 2020 contract. So long answer to your question, but that's kind of how I think it's unfolded over the last 3 weeks.
Mike, the draft is a little bit more than 2 weeks away, and the commissioner has said he wants all personnel at home to do the draft, no group gatherings. Some are concerned that if you go on Zoom, they may get hacked. What are your thoughts? Well, the Astros aren't going to be around. What are your thoughts on?
Wow.
And that's my team. What your thoughts on the draft being conducted this way?
Well, I think it comes down to a couple things. First of all, the thing that the commissioner did is he closed all facilities indefinitely. He had done that in late March because some teams were still working. Our people had been out of the facility for a week. And some teams, like the Dallas Cowboys, were still going to work every day. And so the commissioner considered, and Dallas wasn't doing anything wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying there was an advantage the league perceived for some teams being able to access their facility and some teams not being able to access their facility. In the state of Tennessee, there was a chance that we were going to be able to have the all clear to access the facility by draft time. Kind of looks unlikely, but there was that possibility. In some places, there's no chance that people are going to be allowed to go to their facilities. In some places, there's a good chance that they can return to their facilities. The commissioner is saying early on, we're going to level the playing field for everybody. We're gonna take everybody and say, hey, here's how this is going to work. You're going to have to do the draft remotely. By doing so, Jimmy, he's given the teams 2.5 weeks to specifically make all of the prep for that, for Mike Vrabel to be ready to go in his home, for John Robinson to be able to go from his home. All of those sorts of things can be set up. I will tell you, we had been working toward that anyway because there was some assumption on our end that that was going to be necessary. And one of the things we have is we have an IT team that is specifically dedicated to football. For years, we had an IT guy who handled your computer. You know, he was the guy who came in and said, turn it off and turn it back on and see if it works. you know, plug it back in and see what happens.
30 seconds.
Now, we give it 30 seconds and let's see. Hold the button down. But now I'm serious. We had one guy and then we had two guys and we thought we were big time when we had two guys. Now we have an army of people. And we have – this is Amy Adams Strunk. This is where she changed us 5 years ago. Now we have a group of people who does IT for the organization, and we have a group of IT that works specifically with football. So we are one of the more – we have to be one of the more technologically sound organizations in the National Football League based on the staffing that we have that way and the quality of the people. So we'll be ready to go. We'll be fine. I don't think anybody's happy about it, Jimmy, but I don't think it's going to be any problem at all for us.
If you have a question or comment for Mike, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. More with Mike Keith coming up as he joins us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline on Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Making average people feel more attractive since 1876. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Radio WNML.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Fun fact, Mike Keith was actually working Top 40 Radio when the song that we're playing right now was a hit originally, as he joins us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline.
Not well.
Let's get a call from Doug. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Doug.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hey, Doug.
Y'all still taking my call after my discussion with Brent Thursday?
Oh, yeah,
that'll
sure.
never change. Hey, Babe Ruth, I need a home run every time.
That's right. I wanted to ask about the TV broadcast conflict with golf. I just wanted to tell you an interesting story. I went up to Ooltewah Track Saturday to do my laps, and a guy came down and had on a New Orleans Saints sweatshirt, Jimmy, or a T-shirt. It was Von Bell.
Oh, sure, yeah. Wow.
He lives here, even though he lives in Ooltewah, but his mother taught at a school right across the line in Georgia, so he went there for high school. But yeah, and it just amazes me. You know, you see the college guys, and of course, everybody sees the NFL guys. Mike does. But when a regular person sees an NFL athlete, I mean, it's just unbelievable how how built they are, you know. He probably has, what 1.0 body fat or something like that?
Not much.
I mean, that's one of the things about this situation that's so unusual. From, like, when I got here 20-plus years ago, they were always really worried about the guys' conditioning when they were away from the facility. They were constantly worried about it. You know, guys would leave at the end of June and come back for training camp a month later, and they'd gain 15, 20 pounds. And, you know, there were all kinds of guys not making weight. Now these guys are in such unbelievable shape. And, you know, they do all these incredible classes and, you know, have the personal trainers, and you watch the explosive stuff that they do. And, you know, I'm sure when you see a guy like Von Bell, you say, that's a world-class athlete. These guys maintain that all the time now. So even though they're not going to be in the facilities probably for the next 2 or 3 months, I still think they'll be in good enough shape where teams won't be too worried about it if we can start training camp on time at the end of July.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. He obviously had a detailed workout that he was going through. You know, everything had been laid out for him. But, yeah, he's quite impressive. But anyway, my main question was, with all the golf tournaments moving to fall, and I know y'all talked about college, like the Masters final weekend is Tennessee, Georgia, and, of course, CBS could move that tonight. But what's CBS going to do about their Sunday afternoon football contracts? And then the U.S. Open is in September 20th, I think, and Fox has it. So what are they going to do with the U.S. Open on Sunday and having all those NFL contracts too?
It's a great question. I think where you're at in that situation is two things. First of all, those golf contracts, I mean, that's once a year. And I know the Masters is a big deal, and I know they don't negotiate anything, but that's once a year. They make a lot more money off. They make a lot more money off the NFL. A lot more money. The other thing to remember too is the NFL contracts are up after this year, so they none of the network people, and there's going to be more bidding for those contracts. So the network people have to be very careful, I think, because the NFL is going to have several options about different things. Now, I think there will be some things that potentially can be worked out. It may be that in particular the weekend of the Masters, CBS doesn't have the late game. And by not having the late game, then you would be able to get the second part of the day, which is how it used to be. If you'll remember, the Masters was not all day coverage like these other tournaments. Jimmy, 2 hours? The final 6 or 7 holes, maybe 3 hours?
I'm so old, I can remember it was 15, 16, 17, and 18.
Right.
In black and white.
Yes, but, I think they'll work it out. But for the people who are just automatically saying, "Well, there'll be no NFL that day,"
just a minute, my friend.
We'll talk about money.
Well, thanks, Ben. I always enjoy your segment. See you guys,
Doug. We appreciate it. Mike, thanks you as well. 656-9900 656-9900 That's right.
I love the Hover. You know I love the Hover, but anyway.
Yep. Sure enough. Got to draw the distinction.
I got to draw the line somewhere.
When you take a look, and there's so much, I mean, we had Anthony Munoz on in the first hour, and I asked him if he was in charge of the Bengals pick. Would you go with Joe Burrow? Do you think there's any way that Cincinnati moves from that top spot in the draft?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I do. I think there's a way they do it, because I think they may be in a position where, they haven't done well with number one picks at quarterback. I give you David Klingler and Akili Smith. Carson Palmer worked out pretty well. but they're 1-for-3 under Mike Brown picking quarterbacks. I think, too, they might think they could get a guy at 5 if they move back with Miami. And they might be able to get Miami's other 2 number one picks for that, and they may be able to get another pick out of it. The chart that you look at says that the 2 number one picks and another pick would certainly make a lot of sense and would probably be actually overpaying for that pick a little bit. But Miami seems to want Joe Burrow badly. Do I think Cincinnati is making a huge mistake if they don't do it? I do. I think if he's from Athens, Ohio, I take him. I think he's a good player. I think he's going to be a good pro. You know, the backstory on Burrow and the fact that his dad was a college coach and everybody in his family's played football and that he's an unbelievable athlete. He was All-State in basketball. You know, he had good rushing numbers at LSU, which people don't realize. They just think about the fact that he threw 60 touchdown passes. You know, this is a guy who gives you what you need in this game today. And having mobility is a big factor. I think if you're going to beat Baltimore, if you're going to beat Cleveland, if you're going to beat Pittsburgh, to me, you need Joe Burrow. I do it. But I think because it's Cincinnati and because it's Mike Brown and knowing how he loves value, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Miami is able to jump up there and go to number one.
Our guest, Mike Keith. If you have a question or comment for Mike, 656-9900, 656-9900. If you have a question for Brent, he is Thursday at 5, but we'll forward it to him. That's Mike Keith. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Himes. Sports Talk rolls on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Sports Talk rolls on with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Mike Keith. If you have a question or comment for Mike, 656-9900, 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Mike, a reaction to HBO wanting 2 teams in this year's Hard Knocks, both the Rams and the Chargers, as they get ready to share a brand-new facility.
Well, I think that makes a lot of sense. And they are 2 teams with interesting storylines. I mean, the Rams are going to control the stadium, and their owner has put the whole deal together. And they seem to be the team that has taken a hold in Los Angeles more than the other at this point. They'll be without Todd Gurley. So there are some good storylines with them. And then the Chargers, no Phillip Rivers. So what are they doing? Are they going to draft a quarterback? Is it really going to be Tyrod Taylor's show? Will the stadium be finished? You know, what's going to happen with that? Because we keep hearing that there potentially could be some delays after everything that has gone on over the past month or so. Interesting to see. I like the 2 storylines coming together, and this is going to be, if SoFi Stadium opens on time, this is really the NFL's return to L.A. You know, we've sort of had the couple years where, you know, playing in a 30,000-seat stadium, playing in the Coliseum, this, that, and the other. This really, to me, marks the return. And it will be the forever legacy. I think most people feel like Roger Goodell's forever legacy will be getting the NFL back to L.A. And, you know, still some question about how successful that is going to be. Will it reach the level that he wants it to reach?
There has been reaction far and wide to a new logo as well as other new trademark identification marks for the Rams. Your thoughts on... I like the actual Ram head. I'm not so sure about the Rams with the with they're trying to do the horn, but it just kind of looks like blonde hair.
Yeah, I didn't get, but I mean, you know, it's like the Buccaneers thing came out today, right? And did you see any difference, really?
It wasn't a throwback all the way to what it should have been.
Right. I mean, it was like here are the Bucks' new uniforms, and it's like, well, aren't they the Bucks' old uniforms? I mean, that looks like kind of the same thing.
That's right.
But I guess the flip of that is you get the Rams, and I'm like, you know, the first thing I thought is, wow, that's interesting. I guess some people really like it and some people really don't. Is it just me because I've been alone in my house for a month? I don't know. I didn't get that one. And the Bucks one today. It's not Tom Brady, and I understand why it's not Tom Brady, because they probably shot that 2 months ago, and they can't get anybody together to have him in the uniform. Mm-hmm. But the first thing they put out was Chris Godwin in the 12, and they quickly changed that. So I guess that was the right move.
You mentioned Tom Brady. Did you see his comments in the Players Tribune?
No, I didn't.
There were a few things he said, and people are interpreting the way they want, but one of the things he said was that he wants to see what he can do at Tampa Bay. I want to see how great I can be. The team believes in me. They've welcomed me as one of their own, and they want to listen to what I have to say. Now, he mentioned some other things, but a lot of people are jumping on that with the interpretation. What does that mean? New England didn't want to listen to what he had to say. How would you interpret that?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't. I mean, the head coach is like, yeah, you're a player, you play, and I'll coach you. Yeah, I think that's what it came down to.
Yeah.
Is he felt like overall that he was to a different place in his career, that he had earned the ability to have some say-so in certain things. Peyton Manning always had say-so on certain things. And I don't think he ever had any of it. I mean, LeBron James clearly has it. There are different athletes in different sports who clearly have more say-so. And, I mean, he didn't have any. And as long as Belichick's the coach, I don't think any player is going to have any, because Belichick's the coach, and he's the general manager. I mean, he's running the whole thing, and, you know, he's not taking a vote. You know, that's just the way it goes. So I think clearly Brady had some things that he felt like he was entitled to, and maybe he's right. But the bottom line is that was never happening, never, ever happening with Belichick. What's going to be really fascinating is he's on the Howard Stern show tomorrow. And the Howard Stern show has become this area where, I mean, some of the best interviews that you can hear anywhere end up being on that show. And I'm going to be fascinated to hear what he has to say, because a non-sports interviewer like that often gets a person like Brady to sort of open up more about relationships. And we'll see if he has anything to say about his coach. But clearly it's I don't think there's any way to interpret it other than a breakup.
Yeah.
Now, is it a forever breakup? Do they make up at some point? Maybe so, but I think he was pretty tired of operating in Belichick world.
Going back to the draft, where we were talking about how the commissioner has directed it to be held, many have the opinion that because of likely less communication, there will be fewer trades during the course of the draft. Mike, if that's true, do you think there's a chance there will be more trades before the draft?
That's a great point. That's a great point. I think there is definitely a chance of that, particularly for people who want to go up early, because you don't want to get in a situation where, you know, things kind of get jumbled. You want to be in a position where you can make the deal, have the deal in place. Like, for example, if the Miami thing were to happen and they go up to one and take Cincinnati's pick, I think it would make sense for that to happen beforehand, because you want to make sure that everybody is on the same page and that it's all handled the same way. on both sides, and you want to make sure that nobody gets sort of short-circuited based on that. Now, if you're, say, pick 29, and I know a team that is, and you're going to move – and you're going to move down to 35 or 36, you're going to move out of the first round. I don't think that's real hard to do. But if you're going up and there's a first-round pick involved next year and there's – I mean, a lot of those things are already pretty much in place. But a couple years ago when we traded up to 22 to take Rashawn Evans, we did it at the last minute because we didn't want Pittsburgh to take him. So – Yeah, that's. I mean, that's a great question, Jimmy. And do they end up allotting a little extra time for that reason?
Do you think the Redskins are sold on their quarterback, Haskins, or do you think there's a chance they could take a quarterback instead of Chase Young at number two?
Yes, I think they could take a quarterback. Yeah. I don't think. You know, if you're Ron Rivera and you're walking into that, do you believe Haskins can win for you? I don't know, but does he? If he was really sold on things, you would think he would bring in Cam Newton, but that doesn't seem to be the case right now. Now, that could change, you know. But remember this about Washington. They don't have a GM right now, Jimmy. Hmm. They're not going to have a general manager until after the draft. So who's running that show? Is it Rivera? And because there's not a GM to answer to, if you think Haskins is not good enough, you're not afraid of doing what the Cardinals did last year, you know, with Kyler Murray. Now, that was difficult because Steve Keim had also made the pick, you know, the year before, and then they go back and take Kyler Murray last year. They thought they had their quarterback of the future in 2018, and they take another one in 2019. In this case, with no GM there, I would think they could easily do that. I do not rule out Washington taking a quarterback. No chance.
Do you think that we've heard the end of Alex Smith, speaking of Washington?
Boy, he's trying. He is really trying. That's really kind of an incredible story. Remember this about Alex mm-hmm. Smith. When he was the first pick in 2005, Alex Smith was barely 21 years old. But that's been 15 years. Now, so he's only 36 now. If I'm not mistaken, Aaron Rodgers is older than he is considerably, like by a full year. So I think he's just turned 36. Is that too old to make a comeback from what he went through? Boy, it seems tough. John, I don't think you count on him, but mm-hmm. I don't give up on him. I mean, the guy is certainly battling, and he's made it seem like he wants to give it one more go. I certainly don't think Washington is going to make whatever quarterback decision they're going to make based on him, however. It doesn't feel like that right now.
That's Mike Keith. We'll get a break. We've got one more segment with Mike coming up. If you have a question about the Titans, the NFL, give us a call, 656-9900, 656-9900. A final segment to hour number three of Sports Talk is next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Download the TuneIn app so you can take 99.1 The Sports Animal with you wherever you go.
Segment to hour number three of Sports Talk, a final segment with Mike Keith, Senior Director of Broadcasting for play-by-play voice of the Tennessee Titans. And you look, Mike, what did you think? We saw this come down a little while ago, but since there's been so much concern about helmets, what is the standard that has to be met, the one helmet rule, it looks like the NFL might allow a little bit of room for a throwback helmet. How anxious do you think, or do you think the Titans would embrace the opportunity to wear the Oilers helmet again at some point in the future?
Yes. I mean, we would like to be able to have that option. Our fan base has made it pretty clear that they would like to see us in the Derricks and in the, you know, the Powder Blues. We had a lot of fun with that in 2009. We're to the point now, too. I mean, because we have 22 years of heritage here, no one's confused about our past anymore. Early on, that didn't make a lot of sense, mm-hmm. you know, because the departure from Houston was bitter, and then the Texans have come along, and they've obviously done just fine. Life's okay. And now everybody's kind of up for nostalgia, but you couldn't do it with the Titans helmet. You know, it just didn't make any sense. It would look goofy. But if you have the ability to wear the second helmet, and Amy Adams Strunk has been at the forefront of pushing for it, yeah, I think it'd be fun. Sure. Why not?
Mike, I saw the all-decade team for the NFL that recently came out. I thought you could make a pretty good argument for Jason Witten to be on that team. Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce made it. Your thoughts on Witten not being there?
Witten should have been there. He's a better, you know, I think Witten is a player that has, I mean, you think about his career and you think about he lasted into the third round in 2003. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And there's a standard with him. It's like, are you familiar with Cole Kmet, the tight end out of Notre Dame who's coming out this year?
Yes.
This is really good player, really good player. And so in his write-up, Dane Brugler compares him, and he's a draft analyst who I think really does a good job. He compares him to Jason Witten. Jason Witten is now a standard. Think about mm-hmm. that. You know, that he's a Jason Witten kind of guy, just like, oh, he's a Adrian Peterson kind of guy, or he's a Brian Urlacher kind of guy, or he's a Tom Brady or Peyton Manning kind of guy. When you become that standard – That's pretty special. So, yeah, I think he should have been. That's just me.
Was there a Titan that you thought should have been on there?
No. I mean, not realistically in the decade. Based on the overall run of the decade, like Chris Johnson, you know, his 2,000-yard season was in 2009. And so he just missed it. Mm. And then he played for us a little in the past decade, but he didn't play, you know, he was really good, but he wasn't to that level. So I don't think there was anybody that was over the top, that outstanding over a consistent period of time during that time. I mean, Delanie Walker, you might have said, but we've already talked about what a mess the tight end position was in terms of the competition. Competition was tremendous.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the other two guys over Witten were not deserving. I just think Witten was more deserving. And while Delanie played well, I didn't have any big arguments on our behalf because we didn't have anybody start to finish or even for the majority of the decade who was in there. I'd love to have had some arguments. That would have meant we'd won more games.
Would you have taken Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees?
Ooh. It's a loaded question because Jimmy Himes is asking it. Probably Aaron Rodgers. Probably Aaron Rodgers. I know. The mobility thing, the thing that drives you crazy with Aaron Rodgers, whenever we've played against him, Jimmy, is the stuff that he does. And it's like the trouble with Patrick Mahomes. You do this perfectly. You defense them perfectly. You pressure them out of the pocket. And then because of the mobility, they do things off schedule that there's no way you can stop. And Aaron Rodgers has more of that than what people know. That's not talked about enough in his game. He and Patrick Mahomes, both great passers from the pocket. But what those guys can do with that mobility, and one of the reasons we wanted to keep Ryan Tannehill is that mobility and having that extra ability to extend a play, that's a key in the NFL today. And Aaron Rodgers is so good at it. Oh, my goodness.
Mike, what's going on right now with the OTP, the official Titans podcast?
Got a great one on Thursday, and we'd like to ask everybody listening, go to TennesseeTitans.com. That's a change. As of this week, that's new. Instead of TitansOnline.com, it's now TennesseeTitans.com/OTPQ. OTPQ. And we want you to give us a question for Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel is doing the OTP with us on Thursday, and the entire podcast, the questions from the fans for the head coach. Now, don't send a question about the 1996 Citrus Bowl. He doesn't like those. I've thrown a bunch of them at him, and he does not think it's funny. But otherwise, any question you want to ask him, and maybe we'll have Bill Duff call in. That's another thing.
I was about to
say. Anyway. Yeah, well, hopefully Bill Duff has learned what you can say on the radio and what you can't, because in 1996 on January 1st, he didn't know. Trust me, I was
correct.
There. Yes. That was a great one. I know Volquest has something on that right now about that game, and that was a great thing. But anyway, TennesseeTitans.com/OTPQs, OTPQ for your questions for Mike Vrabel this week. And he always does a great job with those, and they're a lot of fun.
Mike, we look forward to that. Also look forward to catching up with you next week. Hope everybody's safe and sound in Nashville. Take care, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. That's Mike Keith of the Tennessee Titans.